You are now listening to the Friends of Rugby podcast. Relax your anus. Balls. Thick thighs. Camille Chat. Where's his neck? Eddie Jones. You're fucked, mate. We're nice now.
Oh, right, we're recording.
Hello.
Are you ready?
Yeah, of course I'm ready.
Are you sure?
Born ready.
You got your phone going off.
Woke up ready. I'm not texting people.
Yeah, during the middle of the podcast.
The middle. Don't worry. I was just getting out of my system.
But are you prepared?
Yeah, I've got
six
notes.
You got a little list going on there?
Little six bullet points.
Little six
bullet
points.
We're freewheeling today, aren't we?
We are freewheeling.
I'm excited. We're freewheeling.
We're going rogue.
Here we are. No schedule. Six Nations is done.
Yeah. First thing I want to talk about is how much rugby sucks.
Yeah.
You won't believe what rugby has discovered.
9 out of 10 doctors hate how much rugby sucks now.
Now that I've learned that, like, rugby, like, hate content gets the most attention.
That's what we're going to lean into, isn't it?
We need to lean into the hate.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we'll start grifting really hard.
Every single thing we talk about, you have to put some sort of hate on it.
You do. I'm quite a grumpy man, so I'll be pretty good at this. This is my new phase, my villain era.
And you have to practice in our real lives too, just for the podcast. So if you're taking a piss, you got to hate on that piss. Look at this pathetic stream I have.
Why is it so yellow? Be more clear.
Yeah. So, like, that's the key. If you want more eyes and ears on your shit, you got to hate more.
One like equals one prayer plus one hate.
Hello, friends. You're listening to the Friends of Rugby.
Are we the enemies of rugby today?
Enemies. Hello, friends. You're listening to the enemies of rugby.
Yeah.
All the hate today.
Well, ready for some hate.
We're just going to bathe in hate.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who.
Everyone's getting a fucking bullet.
Everyone's getting a fucking bullet today.
Yeah. All right.
Please like and share the podcast.
Yeah. Eviscerate that like button, whatever people say.
Yeah. It's weird. When you look at our, like, database thing on, like, who listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
I just never thought that, like, droves of Kiwis would just, like, listen to this podcast.
I'm less surprised by that than you.
Are you?
Well, yeah, that's what they do. They like rugby.
I knew there would be a lot of Canadians.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be more Americans listening to the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Americans?
Yeah.
Why?
The states that we get listeners from, too, is really weird, too.
Missouri.
Like, New Mexico. And yeah. Some of the countries too, like there's someone, there's a guy in Russia that listens to every single one of our podcasts.
I'm not sure that's a good thing.
So I wonder who that guy is. I want to meet that guy.
Yeah, that's
but,
weird. I think it's VPNs messing with it though.
It could be VPNs.
I think it's
VPN. It sucks.
Whatever. Okay.
Everyone's just from Saskatchewan listening to the podcast.
We're haters now. We don't care where they come from as long as they're listening.
Yeah. All those countries suck.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start off today?
Well,
do you want to talk about some games? Do you want to talk about some drama?
I think we go back to our roots in the URC away.
Go back to the URC. Yeah,
go back to where it all began for us.
You don't want to talk about how the Crusaders like finally won a game?
We will.
Okay.
One thing I'm going to say, I'm going to jump back to your previous point about why so many Kiwis listen to it. I want to make a point about that. Then we'll go into the URC, okay?
Okay.
So you know how like in Wales, it's supposed to be like, you know, our national sport and all this, right?
Yeah.
The truth is, and this, I think this has always been a bit true. It's more true now. Football's more popular, right? It is. Like, I grew up in that country. Kids play football in the parks.
This is breaking news here, people.
And I hate it. No. I think New Zealand is the only country in the world where that is the main fucking sport. Like, that's the sport people play in the parks, you know? Kids go to the park, they take a rugby ball, they do like touch rugby or maybe real rugby. Like, yeah, we love rugby in Wales, don't get me wrong, but football's probably slightly more popular for your average person.
I didn't know that there were so many Welsh people that watch the NFL.
Are there?
Well, you just said, isn't football there?
Oh, don't. No, we'll get to that. I got some real hate for that. Yeah. Fucking NFL. Yeah,
like, what are you talking about? You're saying football, you got to be.
You know where they use their foot to kick the ball? Yeah. That sport?
Soccer.
I have started saying, to be honest, I do say soccer a lot more now. Just
because
you're
saying it today, and I was going to ask you.
I just say soccer
like,
now.
Do you say that, or is that something like they'll say in Wales?
It's just, you know, like, you know, my friends back home kind of take the piss because I use like Canadianisms and Americanisms, like I say sidewalk and soccer now.
Yeah.
But it's just because it's easier.
Instead of footpath.
Just, well, I just want to fit in. I just don't, I'm just tired of sticking out like a sore thumb. Time to go into the grocery store, which I wouldn't say in the UK.
What would you say?
The shop.
Just going to the shop. That could be anything.
Going to big Tesco's.
Like you could be going anywhere. You can go into...
Well, mind your fucking business.
You go to a hardware store. You can go to anything.
I could.
Just going to the shops.
Yeah, mind your business. That's what I'm doing.
Get to the shops, mate.
Come back some goods, you know.
Just on my way to the shops.
Just going to the shops. That's what Kiwis say. Anyway, so New Zealand is like the only country in the world where that's the main sport, right? So that people are...
I would probably agree with that. I can't think of any... Maybe there's probably some smaller countries...
I mean, even Australia, where like they've got, you know, league is, and Aussie rules are really popular. Like union is definitely not the most popular sport, although all their main sports are oval balled. Like, you know, rugby union's the biggest sport in New Zealand, right? Unless league is bigger now, I don't know.
I'd probably go, if I had to guess off the top of my head,
yeah,
in Australia.
Yeah.
The Aussie rules.
I think it's Aussie rules first.
Maybe cricket?
Cricket's pretty big.
And then...
Then league.
Then league, then maybe soccer.
I'd even say maybe like tennis is even more. I don't know. I don't know. But it's definitely cycling. Not union number one, is
Union's
it?
Union's got to be down there.
Yeah. I want you to tell me about the hate in Ireland that is growing towards rugby union. Irish are starting to become like an Ouroboros eating their own tails.
I was starting to listen to some pundits bitching about how they're bitching because of the popularity of rugby. It's kind of overtaking other sports.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of jealousy
from the hurling and the Gaelic football boys.
Yeah. They need to be more sexy like rugby.
I don't think that's possible because no one else plays those sports.
I think it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but there's like a, it was kind of interesting to read that.
I'm surprised by that, you know?
It is surprising because
why would they not be excited about being really successful at rugby?
I think a conversation like that 5 or 6 years ago was probably, wouldn't have been a thing.
No, it wouldn't have.
No,
and Ireland were decent back then, but like Ireland are really good at rugby now. So,
it just shows how much winning does to a popularity of a sport.
I wouldn't know
when you start.
It's
winning.
It's been a while.
Yeah, you guys are all you people in Wales are just living off hopes and dreams now. Yeah,
I say that as our women get crushed by the English team.
Yeah. Oh, what's the score now? Do you know the score now?
When we started watching it, I thought Wales were playing a wee bit better than they were against Scotland. I thought we were a bit rusty against Scotland, but I always knew England would win that game. So I guess I'll say something about the Women's Six Nations right off the bat. Like, I'm glad that a lot of the other unions have got their shit together and they've made the women's team professional. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a while before any game except England and France matters, you know, for the tournament's
sake. Look at the score right now. Like, the France, it's only 15-5.
Oh, is it? But it's to France, though,
at
isn't
half-time.
It? But it's to France.
Yeah, to France. France is going to win that game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just have a... they just got a head start.
Give it
3 or 4 years, and that thing's going to level
totally.
Out.
Totally, yeah, totally.
You'll have you'll find out who where the teams are.
Mm, I think so. Like, it's going in the right direction, definitely. And the crowds look good in all the games, which is excellent.
Yeah, because we started watching the first, 10 minutes of the England-Wales game.
We did.
That stadium looked packed.
It did. It looked good. And I thought Wales started pretty well, actually. Yeah. We just haven't got the... We haven't been professional for long enough, you know? It'll get there.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
I think the product's still good.
I enjoyed watching it. It's just, you know, it feels like the World Cup a while ago where it was only really South Africa and New Zealand that were going to win it.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the only thing. It's kind of, I don't want to make that a negative thing.
We're hating today.
Oh, yeah, we're hating today. Yeah, it fucking sucks. Like, England are just so much better.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch that?
Not me.
Yeah, I don't
know. Not me. Yeah, okay. But that's, you know, let's go to the URC.
URC.
Keep some structure on this.
What was that?
Train.
What was your big thing from the weekend? It's still going on.
It's still going on. We're recording on a Saturday, which is a bit unusual because we've got a long weekend, haven't we? So I wouldn't say long weekend in the UK.
No, you wouldn't. What would you call it? Holiday
bank
weekend?
Holiday weekend.
Banked holiday weekend.
Bank holiday, not past tense, current, present tense, bank holiday. But I watched a wee bit of Lions Ospreys. As soon as I tuned in, Ospreys have a healthy lead. As soon as I tune in, Lions look like they're going to walk all over Ospreys with this, you know, a pretty unfairly disallowed try and then a pretty nice try by the Lions fullback against a pretty sloppy Ospreys defense. But they won and they jumped up to seventh, which does give Welsh rugby some hope. Ospreys won, I mean.
That middle pack in the URC in the table there.
That's what we want to talk about.
It's pretty competitive.
Yeah, because I've been a bit harsh about the URC, saying how the Gallagher, like anyone can beat anyone except maybe Newcastle, are not in the running. But after this weekend and maybe the couple of the weekends in the middle of the Six Nations, that, yeah, the middle of the pack is actually really competitive, isn't it? And you look at the points there, it's pretty tight. I think I was still a little bit critical and I was a bit disappointed because Leinster comfortably beat the Bulls. And it doesn't look like Leinster are going to lose now.
You know what? And about that game too, because that was a surprising game. I watched that game.
Yeah.
And I was expecting a way different game, a more competitive game.
Yeah.
But I would have to look at how all, I'd have to look at the stats of all these games of when South African teams go to the North.
Yeah.
And when the teams go to the South.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me like just off the cuff of like, just like what I know now is that when the South African teams come up to the Northern Hemisphere, they struggle.
They do.
And then when teams go down to them, there's a struggle. So if Leinster went down to the Bulls and played there, I think that would have been a way different game. There's just something it's just that like...
They don't travel well, do they?
Yeah, it's both sides don't travel well. I think I don't know what it is. They show up, do they get off a plane, and then 2 hours later they got to play a game? Like, what's going on?
Well, the time difference, what was one of the advantages for the South Africans? The time difference wasn't such a big deal.
No, I think it's only like, depending on where they are, it's only an hour or a couple hours at most.
Yeah.
Right? So you're thinking that there's not going to be that like jet lag, but there's just something about like, when the Southern Hemisphere comes up to the Northern Hemisphere, like they just struggle back and forth.
They do.
Right? So.
And I don't, you know, when you go to South Africa, everyone talks about the altitude in some of the stadiums. That definitely affects it.
Yeah.
I don't understand why South African teams struggle as much as they do in the Northern Hemisphere. And we were talking about reffing differences,
maybe
right?
Maybe the cold?
I mean, it gets cold in South Africa. Like, we got some high plateaus.
Yeah, you know? But it would get... They probably get some, like...
It's drier cold, there, though, right?
Drier and cold. Yeah. Like, that damp cold gets you.
Yeah.
Like, Canada.
Yeah.
In soccer.
Yeah.
Scheduled some game against Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
In November.
Yeah.
And so they when they got there, it was, like, minus 15 degrees.
Yeah.
So, fucking freezing. These Mexican players, like, were freezing their ass off, and they lost that game.
Yeah,
and there's big
that.
Controversy about that, right?
Yeah.
So, I would say, like, the cold weather is kind of, I don't know. I would assume it does get cold in a lot of places.
But not for as long or as consistently as it does in the Northern Hemisphere, right?
Yeah. So, when they're coming up there, they're just like, because remember, the summers and winters are swapped.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Too. So, they're coming out of...
It's their autumn now, right?
Yeah.
They're going
coming
into
out
winter.
Of, yeah. They're coming out of summer in South Africa and going into winter.
Yeah.
And the boys have just been playing in winter up north.
Mm. They're kind of hardened to that nasty weather.
It was kind of... It still was a surprising game.
Mm.
Like, Leinster had all their guys back.
Leinster looked really good as well, to their credit. Like, they scored 2 tries in like 4 minutes. I saw, you know, Lowe's having a hell of a game. Gibson Park was having a hell of a game. Leinster's forward pack were not just powerful. They were, you know, throwing offloads. Like, they've got a really nice all-court game. I know I've said this before, but what was impressive about that win was how they were using their backs a lot more as well. Like, they don't look like a team who just bullies you physically. They can do everything now, which is impressive, you know. The Bulls are fucking units.
Yeah.
So they're not going to worry physically, but Leinster can do a lot now. You know, they've got a really big toolbox.
Yeah, I still think, though, that if that game was played in South Africa, we would have probably seen a different result.
Maybe.
Which is kind of weird. It's like, depending on where the game's played, on how, like, the outcome is favored more one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's just like an awkward thing. But
it's almost like we shouldn't have a league that is that geographically distant.
No, they just got to get more used to it. And this is also a thing, too, about this Leinster Bulls game, too. Mm. Like, this summer series is giving me a lot more confidence.
You think Ireland are going to...
Well, these players know these other players. So it's not going to be such a like a rugby culture shock.
No.
Because when they go down to South Africa to play, like, they know these players. They've been playing against these guys all year. And it's not going to... I think they're going to be way more prepared than an Irish team has ever been going to South Africa to play.
I think I agree, but I agree with it from the opposite point of view, because if you are a South African team losing to Leinster, you're playing the Irish side without some important additions, Omani, Tyburn significantly, actually. But, you know, if the Bulls...
Tyburn plays for Leinster.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, he's the addition that helps the Leinster team when they become Ireland, right? Uh-huh. So, you know, the South African team's not only do they know these guys? If you're playing against Leinster, you're basically playing against the Irish national side.
Don't get me wrong,
right?
Too. I think that the box side that's going to be playing Ireland, they're going to be the most prepared.
That's
box
what I'm
side
saying.
Too.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going both ways.
Right.
So fair they're going to be well prepared for what they know. Yeah. Especially, yeah, because I think it's even actually, even, I think you made a good point. I think it's more of an advantage.
That's what I'm saying.
Playing
more of an
Leinster
advantage
is basically
Africa.
Playing Ireland.
That's right.
They do play a different style.
Yeah.
But
you know, from an Irish point of view, yeah, you can beat the Bulls. But when the South African teams come together, like they have got some serious talent spread over four teams.
They got some serious talent spread over like dozens of teams.
Not exactly.
They're picking from everywhere.
And they got some unknowns, right? They're bringing in boys from France. They're bringing in boys from the Prem.
Guys, Japan.
Yeah, exactly. So it's placed to South Africa's advantage because they've got some hidden aces up their sleeve. Whereas if you play Leinster and you lose to them, yeah, you lost. But you know how to prepare and you know you've got some top quality coming from several teams. Whereas Leinster have got to bring in like Tadhg Byrne, Jack Carty.
Oh man, this series is going to be a fucking war. I cannot wait. Yeah. I hope both teams are fully fit.
They will be.
I want both teams fully fit, fully firing.
It's
going
to be good, isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, sorry, I meant Jack Crowley, not Jack Carty.
That's okay.
There's a lot of Jacks and Carthys and things going on. Yeah.
But yeah, back to the URC, the table. Like, yeah, that competitiveness is pretty good. Like, all these teams, I think, can... besides, I think the Bulls and Leinster are ahead of the pack by a significant amount. But I think the Bulls lost to the Stormers not too long ago.
They did.
Right?
Yeah, they did.
So...
Stormers aren't that far away, mind. They could still make top four.
And Leinster still lost two games this year.
They did.
Right?
They did. Who did they lose to? I think they lost to Munster, didn't they?
I can't remember now. I'd have to go back onto their fixture list. And I know it was early.
It was early.
Right? It was during, I think it was like just right after the World Cup or something like that. So the internationals were back.
Yeah.
But looking at the teams in the top eight, like I'm seeing teams that can basically beat each other on their day right now.
I disagree. I couldn't see Ospreys or Edinburgh beating Leinster in a knockout game. Couldn't see it.
Yeah,
I think it comes down to
the top four. Maybe could probably the top
Benetton,
second, third, and fourth.
Can't see Benetton beating Leinster.
No, but I can see.
I see Munster doing it. I could see the Bulls doing it if they're better than they were.
Can you see Glasgow
no,
doing it?
I couldn't. They've had too many dodgy games recently. They've had too many kind of in both this and Europe. Like they've had too many games where I'm just not convinced.
I can't see Glasgow beating Leinster either.
So for me, I'm excited. The middle of the pack is competitive, but I'm still maintaining that criticism, right? I cannot see anyone. Leinster too far ahead because you know they're basically the Irish national side, right?
They're also basically like top 14 money.
They are
in the URC.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They have like a big financial advantage over basically everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that sort of.
Because some of these teams are actually having some financial troubles.
That's what we were talking about, right? How Ulster and Munster are sort of talking about some surprising financial woes in a union that is actually pretty solid. They're doing as best as they can. Like Ireland are the model you're jealous of, right? Like Ireland are the model everyone wants to emulate, and there's still financial problems, which just shows you we're not really over what COVID did to the sport. We're not really over the financial imbalances of trying to compete with the wages of the French league, right? You have to pay guys in the URC and the Gallagher Prem big money. Otherwise, why wouldn't they go to France? You know, because who's going to France? Sinclair and
Lewis Lellum.
Yeah. So
they're going from the Prem over.
Two significant players from England going to France. Like, unless
they
you're paying
people, they're fucking like, France is like convincing players to go over there to play in the second division.
A lot of Welsh players go
like,
play
I'm
in the second
division. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Who's that English lock who's leaving? He retired.
Joe Launchbury?
No. Oh, come on. I think he plays for Northampton Saints.
Courtney Laws.
Courtney Laws. I think he's going to play in the second division.
I think he is.
Like,
yeah.
Because I think he's going to Reeve or...
Is it one of those teams that's probably going to get promoted? And that's why... Because George North is going to France because he thinks the team who he's going to are going to get promoted.
But like that's how much money is in France right now.
Oh, I know.
And that's how healthy rugby is over there. Like,
yeah.
People like are packing stadiums for the second div and they're able to like pull over rock stars from other countries there.
Yeah.
So
But and you know, if you're someone like Kyle Sinclair going over to play there, you're not going over there for a holiday. They'll tan your hide over there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You play week in, week out, and brutal. Yeah.
Because I heard with Courtney Laws, too, like part of his like contract, too, was like even school fees for his children.
Right.
To go to like some private school and stuff.
And you've got to remember as well, like the conditions for your life are just bad. Like it's a beautiful country with lovely warm weather, with amazing beaches, or you could live in Northampton, which is just a rainy town.
I've never been there. So.
It's a nice town, and yeah. I like it. It's got lots of history and culture, but it's not living on a beach, is it? You know what I mean? Like the southwest of France, where rugby's popular, like you get paid a lot more money to
is
go.
Is that
live
where
there.
He's going, though? Where is he going?
I don't know, but what I'm saying is a lot of the heartland of French rugby is like the southwest and the sort of more south of France, isn't it? Where it's kind of really nice weather.
I'm trying to Google it here.
We're freewheeling a lot today.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. Actually, no, I do hate it because I'm hating today.
Yeah, you're fuzzy. So Courtney Laws is due in France Friday.
He's due in France on Friday. Weirdly specific.
And he is going to Brive.
Brive.
Yeah.
Just Brive.
So do you know where Brive is?
No.
I heard Brive is... I think I heard rumors that Brive is not like the most fancy town in France.
It's actually in Scotland.
It goes to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know where it actually is.
Don't you
on
worry.
The maps.
We've got computers right here. Jamie, can you pull it up for us?
Hey, Jamie, that's what we need.
The Jamie.
We need someone to...
It's south of France.
It's like in the center, though.
Nah, it's the south.
It's like...
It's middle bottom.
Yeah, middle bottom. Not too close to the beach. He ain't getting no beach days.
Mate.
You got to drive.
I bet there's vineyards and mountains.
Probably.
It's going to be beautiful.
Probably some beautiful stuff there.
Yeah. So, but, URC, though. Back to the URC. I think I said all I wanted to say about it. Like, it is nice that the middle's competitive. Dragons climbed, scraped themselves off the bottom with the bargain bin fixture, Zebra Dragons.
We should have watched that game.
I watched the highlights.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That looks like a game that I would that would have been up for.
I was out. I would have watched it otherwise. Yeah, that would have been a game, yeah, that I should have watched actually.
Just watch the bottom teams play each other.
Yeah. So they're not the lower bookend of the bloody table anymore. Not for long. It could change. Who knows? Anything could happen. You know?
Before we move on from the URC too, I want to talk about the Tong and Thor rumors with Leinster.
Oh, he's going to...
Tupo there.
Tupo's going to Leinster, is he?
Well, it's rumored that they're bidding for him.
Okay.
And I would assume there's a fuckload of top 14 teams that want him too.
You'd assume so. He'd get looked after a lot better at Leinster, I think.
Yeah, I think the healthier lifestyle would be at Leinster.
Yeah, he's kind of injury prone as well.
Well, he's not having a great Super Rugby season. He might even actually be injured right now.
Yeah.
But I know he's been struggling this year because I was looking at some like things where people were trying to predict like who's on the radar for the Wallabies.
Yeah.
And some of the things he wasn't even on.
Really?
Yeah. So he might be struggling with form.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put too much into that.
I think Leinster are just looking for a cover in the international windows, probably.
I don't like this idea. And actually, the Irish media that I've been listening to, too, they are not really keen on this idea either.
I wouldn't be if I was a Leinster fan.
I just feel like it's someone not needed.
Yeah.
Like, why do
we... If your academy is so amazing. Like,
I don't even like RJ Snyman
at Munster.
Playing in Munster or in Leinster. Mm. I just don't like the idea. Like, you know what? There should be enough guys coming through.
And there are.
And there are.
Yeah, there definitely are.
That they should be relying on more. I just don't like the idea of him taking minutes away from a player that they should be developing, especially in that position. Like, in Ireland, the tight head position and the loose head position.
We talk about that a lot, don't we? How there's a gap in quality.
You got three guys.
Yeah.
You got Porter at loose head.
Yeah.
And after him, quality just drops right off.
Mm.
And then in tight head, you have Furlong and you have Binley Phelim.
Binley Phelim. Finley Phelim.
Finley Phelim. Fuck. And then you have Ollie Jaeger now starting to get in, but
he's
just got
though.
A big injured. He's going to need surgery.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't even know if he's going to make it to the summer.
Mm.
It says it's not too serious.
Yeah.
But I don't like the idea.
No, I get it. I get it.
And if those guys go play France.
Yeah.
Let them take up French spots.
Yeah.
Like, go make money and
take a risk with some of your academy kids, right? Like, that's what you've been doing so well for a while.
Yeah, and it's worked.
It has worked.
It's fucking worked.
I think it's more a prestige thing. I think it's showing that they are a world-class team who attract world-class talent. I think sometimes you have to have a marquee player if you're, you know, if you're a big dog, just to sort of build your profile a bit, you know?
It's kind of also, I find a little bit insulting too, because it's just like kind of waving their money dick around at the URC. Like, look how much money we have. Look at this fucking
I felt like
guys.
That with Munster when they got De Allende and Snyman a bit, right? Like, it's their academy is pretty stacked, and you bring in two spring World Cup winning Springboks, and then neither of them played a lot.
But, you know what? Irish rugby and Springbok rugby, like, Irish and South African rugby are kind of in bed with each other.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of mixture and back and forth between the two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And...
But I think this also... Like, they like being in each other's pocket so they can know each other's secrets.
Yeah,
as well.
It's almost
Game
like
of Thrones,
they're frenemies.
They are
fucking frenemies.
They've got
right?
knives behind their back where they're kissing, haven't
they're
they?
They're like switching coaches and they got like players all over the place and they're kind of like, oh yeah, we're friends, but not really.
You know, Jack Nienaber's like calling Razzie, like, you know what's going on over here, mate? I'll tell you. Like,
he's like switching notes and stuff. Yeah. Because you look at those two countries, they are, there's a lot of back and forth between those two. Suspicious. It's very suspicious.
They both know what they're doing. They both know exactly what they're doing.
And I think it's been beneficial for them both.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Yeah,
I think you're going to start seeing a lot of in the future. You're going to see a lot of South African players that are applying their trade in Ireland, playing for the Springboks.
Wait, that's happening now. Yeah. Snyman's he had a good game the other day as well against the Ospreys.
Even with the coaching, there's Irish coaches in the Springboks setup.
Yeah,
there's Irish coaches like all over the place there, and then you got South African coaches up north.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's always been a strong link between Munster and South Africa. I think that's just kind of spread a little bit around now. I think there was a couple of Kitsoffs at Ulster. I think Dwayne Vermeulen was at Ulster as well.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, it's not unique. But, you know, and you know, the South Africans all over the URC and the Gallagher Prem, but, you know, the Irish teams can attract
it
the Springboks,
right? It
seems
like there's more of a friendly... kind of relationship there.
Oh yeah, but it, you know what they're doing though. You know exactly what
it's a frenemy situation.
It is 100%. Yeah, and South Africa are used to exporting their players. Ireland don't export their players, do they? And I think we're getting to the stage where they could. They have got enough talent. That is it. Hirsch at Munster was being looked at by the French.
I just can't even believe how. I can't even think about how much fucking money Leinster is paying to keep that squad together.
Yeah,
they must be paying those guys like. All over the place with different things to keep those players playing there. But teams, players like winning teams though.
Of course they do. That's what I'm saying. And you know, people always say like, oh, Ireland's got this incredible system, and they definitely do. And people always say, oh, look how good their academy is. And it definitely is. But they can do that because they've got the money to do it. Like, academies cost money. You know, having a big squad costs money, right?
But so, the quality that the Leinster have, I can't even imagine the millions that's going through to keep those players playing there.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? You've got guys who'd happily warm a bench in Leinster than play elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so attractive there. The guys will waste their career losing playing minutes, staying in Leinster, then playing somewhere else.
Look at the Byrne brothers and the Prendergast kid, you know?
Yeah, like that's a perfect...
Three top quality tens.
Yeah, and Kieran Frawley.
Yeah.
You got four guys
actually very good tens,
that are amazing tens.
Yeah.
Three of them are like, could play for Ireland as 10.
Meanwhile, Munster signing Billy Burns. Like, and give him one of your tens.
You got Frawley fucking around at fullback.
Yeah.
And you got Ross and Harry kind of switching it up. Yeah. And whoever's fit and not fit.
Yeah.
And you got Pendergast, like he's probably the most what's the word? He's getting the worst of it, I think.
He is, because in the under 26 nations, he looked incredible.
He's losing playing minutes.
And he needs to kick on now.
Yeah.
Right? He needs to get a pro level experience now.
And then Ulster's just fucking around giving away their fucking...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Share the love, Leinster.
Nah, we don't need a 10.
Yeah. But that's the thing. When you look at like Irish fans, and as much as they're unified in the national team, as every country is, there is some animosity between those... What do they call them? Provinces.
Oh, there is. There is. And I'm not really privy to it.
Yeah. I love a good sports rivalry.
I've made some comments on some things, and then I wasn't expecting the reaction.
Mm.
And it was just like on Reddit or on Facebook or anything.
Yeah.
And then my comment section is just filled with Irish people fighting each other over like the hate between like Leinster and Munster and Ulster and stuff like that. I'm like, I wasn't expecting that outcome from the topic that I like posted and stuff. And I was like, holy
That's
fuck.
Good though. That's a sign of a healthy sports country. You know, you want strong rivalries between your teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like you look at Wales and it's like, I don't want to cheer for the Ospreys, but when they beat the Lions, I'm like, ah, that's good. We needed a Welsh win. But, you know, in an ideal situation, I would be rooting for Cardiff every single game, and every single time the Ospreys lost, I'd be like, good, fuck them. You know, but that's not the case because
I'm just cheering for
fucking table scraps, you know, of joy. You know,
here's the extra potatoes. Oh, thank you. You're just like on the floor in the corner, just eat this
tiny morsels of joy. Like, no, but that's a good sign. And so I'm not criticizing it. Do you know what I mean? It's like a good, healthy sign. Like, I want the Munster boys to hate the Leinster boys. I think it's because it's kind of unequal, right? Like, Leinster have so many resources and talent, and the other guys, if you're owned by the union as a kind of a collective thing going on, you're thinking if you're Munster or someone, be like, just give us one of your fucking tens, like, you know. But you got Jack Crowley, so you're probably happy.
So what are we concluding? I think the UFC is like pretty healthy right now.
I think it's not as...
I think when you see Benetton in fifth place.
Yeah.
I think it's a healthy league.
I think so. Munster, I feel like Munster are kind of lucky to be in fourth. They've got a hell of a squad, but they haven't had their best season.
They've been up and down. They also...
Hot and cold, eh?
I'm kind of thinking they're going to step up in this...
They've done that for the last two seasons.
The final rounds
here. They do that.
Because now they started off with like fucking 20 injuries to their squad. Yeah,
that's true.
And they're starting to get a lot of those players back now.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Yeah.
And so their squad is looking pretty deadly right now.
It's a nice looking squad.
So
yeah.
I'm kind of excited for the last few. Also, Leinster's like the big, because like the Championship Cup is back.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
It is.
So like Leinster are going to be put to the sword here. Like they're going to have a bunch of challenges coming up. So this is going to put, what's his name? Niabar?
Yeah.
He's going to have to, this is his proving ground right here. In the next few games.
I think he's proved himself pretty well so far, but the competition in the Champions Cup is sterner, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is really going to like show like how good and how much of an impact he's had on the team.
Yeah.
Coming up in the next couple.
Because he's inherited an incredible team, hasn't he? So he needs to show what he can do now. Yeah, you're right.
So I think that's going to be a proving ground for him too. So that's going to be interesting in the thing.
They're playing Leicester on April 6th.
Yeah, I got
weekend.
All the fixtures up here. We go over that at the end. We'll probably make some predictions at the end of this thing for that. So
get on to some exciting news.
What, Crusaders finally getting a win?
Sure. That's exciting news.
They were good that whole game.
They were good that game. Yeah, they were good.
I was actually surprised they didn't play. Chiefs didn't, like, they rested Damian McKenzie, their best player.
You idiots.
That was kind of disrespectful.
It was arrogant.
Or, you know what, I think it was, you know what? Actually, I take that back because I know they have like resting laws for the guys.
Yeah.
And I think they gave him like a rest day, and the Crusaders have lost five games in a row.
Yeah, maybe it's not disrespectful. It's like, not exactly against the run of play, is it? Like, yeah, they've not been impressive. But it is good though, because as much as I think there's probably a lot of Kiwis who aren't Crusaders fans, and a lot of people, Australians, Pacific Islanders going, thank fuck the Crusaders aren't winning every game. It is nice to see a team not totally capitulate after losing one coach, you know? Like, they've still got quality and depth, you know? So
also, I think the Highlanders are kind of like the biggest letdown of this Super Rugby so far.
Yeah.
They looked good in preseason.
Right at the start, they looked good. Yeah, they won a couple of games at the start, didn't they? But they're just
a real hot and cold team. There's really like no consistency.
Kind of shit the bed against the Hurricanes, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But the Hurricanes are on fire.
Yeah, I mean, I think the season is starting to go a bit more like I'd expected now. Like, the Kiwi teams are starting to pull ahead a little bit, or I'm starting to see that they will, you know? Like, their quality is definitely better than the Australian and, you know, the Drua and Moana Pacifica. But I still maintain that this is a much better Super Rugby season than has been in the last few years, just because it seems more competitive, you know?
Well, you got in the top five right now. You have the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
You got the Blues.
Yeah.
And the Blues and Brumbies are tied.
Yeah, the Brumbies are challenging. That's true.
For points.
Yeah.
And then you got the Reds.
Mm. Yeah. I heard Queensland is where the rugby union people are at. So,
you kind of got a really good competitive mix here.
Mm.
I think the Blues and the Hurricanes are going to be the teams to beat.
Yeah, looks like it. I think one of those will win. I think the Hurricanes probably win it. Someone tell me, though, I don't know fuck all about Super Rugby, so.
The Hurricanes are going to...
That's my definite prediction.
They're going to bull rush it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about, so may as well make a wild prediction.
Because there's like... I forgot what I was going to say. But also the Chiefs. Chiefs can be up there, too. There have been... I don't know. Yesterday was kind of... was a really shocking form for them.
Mm. Yeah. But like you said, you're resting your best player. So
yeah, but one player shouldn't make.
Neither should one coach. Look at the Crusaders.
That's true too.
So you know, maybe they're resting on individuals a bit too much down there.
Fucking Damian McKenzie just carrying that whole fucking team.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Well, I remember when Gatland was running the Chiefs for a bit. He just did not know how to use Damian McKenzie, I don't think. Like, he was trying to do his very structured game plan. It's like, you've got to let that man float around. He's a leaf on the wind.
He was out of his element there.
He was.
Like, Super Rugby is a different game.
It is a different
game.
Like,
when you watch Super Rugby, it's a very different game. Like, it runs, it's just played, it's like just pure chaos rugby. And like, it's not international rugby.
It's mental.
That's where I thought that Scott Robertson was going to have this kind of the same kind of culture shock when he goes to, when he starts coaching the All Blacks.
Right.
Because he's been coaching Super Rugby for so long. All his rugby is Super Rugby. So when I thought he was going to go up in there, but now that I look at his coaching team.
They've been grooming him though.
Yeah,
they've
but his coaching team too. And who's behind, like, who's behind the doors there?
He's not alone.
No, he's not alone. He's going to be, and so. Yeah.
And he'll have a little bit of grace. Like, if he doesn't come out the gate firing, I think there's enough people who will go, give him a minute and he'll be fine. You know, because South Africa are the world champions, right? So you're not going to expect New Zealand to come out with a new coach having lost a lot of their superstar All Blacks to retirement and just beat South Africa. The crazy thing is they it's exactly the kind of thing they've historically done, right? They will just come out and hammer someone like South Africa or Australia. But I think he's probably got enough cash in the bank so that a lot of Kiwis will go, we'll give him a minute, you know? I don't think it's like Ian Foster where they were like, fuck him, get rid of him. We hate him.
Just looking at his whole, like, Razor's whole setup, I think you're coming into a new era of the All Blacks domination.
I'm so scared. Genuinely.
I am too.
Genuinely, yeah.
I'm terrified.
Oh.
Like, he is making me want to poop my pants.
I know.
Because, like, you look at that setup and you look at just the difference between him not being at the Crusaders and not, that was a big sign for me.
Mm.
Like, that was huge. Like, look, if he's the difference.
Who thought Crusaders losing would be a sign that New Zealand would get a lot fucking better, right?
Right?
Yeah.
So.
I got the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. Like, I think there's a new, if you're an All Black fan,
yeah.
Like, you must be just, like, your dick must be just fucking rock hard. Like, waiting for that first kickoff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, all confidence too.
Yeah.
Just pure hard dick and confidence just blocking into every
You know they
game.
Don't think that. You know they're sat 100% there going,
I would be. Yeah, yeah. If you're a Kiwi, like, you're just fucking rocking
so?
In.
No.
Yeah,
I think
like
I'll
you
take
took
the
10
first
Viagra.
Game.
Like, you're just fucking ready to go. I would have no fears right now.
Fair enough. I think they're probably a little bit more humble than that, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
What else is going on in the world of rugby?
Well, you wanted to talk about Louis Rees-Zammit, but I don't particularly, but go ahead.
Why don't you want to talk about Louis Rees-Zammit?
Because he's not related to rugby. Don't give a shit.
He's a star.
No, he's not. He used to be. Then he left the sport that we love.
The NFL wants us talking about the NFL to rugby fans.
And I don't
That's the only reason why he's there.
I don't give those scum airtime. You know, good luck to him. See you later. See you never again.
There's a lot of the articles I'm seeing now about him is that he's like made the NFL.
Yeah.
So, but this is exactly kind of the same situation as Christian Wade.
It's not exactly the same.
I think he signed for a training squad, just like.
Oh, in that sense, yeah.
Yeah.
So but it's signed, even then.
He signed for the training squad for the Chiefs.
But the Chiefs are like back-to-back Wonder Bowl champions, aren't they? So that's presumably
this is also
more significant.
You got to remember the marketing behind this too, behind him.
I think that's what I'm a bit
like even in the American media
petulant
now,
about it.
I've been starting to watch like American media stuff about him because he's starting to come up now on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's being like regarded as like they've just brought over the Messier of rugby. Like he's like, oh, he's the best player in the world.
So on one hand, I'm thinking, you know, Louis Rees-Zammit has a bigger rugby profile than Christian Wade. I always thought Christian Wade should got more England caps. He was class. But Louis Rees-Zammit is a lion, right? Like, he is a world-class winger. He's established a world-class winger. So I think he's probably the first person in that situation he's that high profile going into the NFL. So that's the difference, I think. You know, the other guys who've gone to the NFL, apparently there was some other guy who plays for the Eagles or something who was took him a couple of years and he made it and now he's really
There's
good.
There's a handful of players that have came over from rugby. There is
a
lot.
I believe it, but what I'm saying is like his profile is high enough that it deserves a bit of hype, you know? I've no idea about the sport. I know a lot of people are saying he'll never make it and then other people are going, shut up, he's done better than you said he would. I don't know the sport.
I think you're going to see the same thing that Christian Wade went through. I think he'll play a couple of
yeah.
I think he'll play a couple of exhibition games.
Yeah.
but he's not going to be in the final squad.
Do you know the crazy thing about Christian Wade was as well? Like, he scored a touchdown with his first ever touch.
Yeah.
And then they were like, I don't want you. Because you got the best. That's as good as you could do.
Because you got the best of the best.
But, like, he did the best thing he could have done, and they were still like,
yeah,
don't worry about it.
Someone better. That's why.
But how do you know they're better if they didn't do that?
Because these guys live, breathe football. They got, like,
I don't know. For me, the proof is
in
the
pudding. The amount of money that goes into analyzing and profiling a player,
yeah, I know,
and their performance,
I know.
They have these guys down to a T.
Yeah, they know,
like, how fast their fucking middle finger is going to move. Like, they know.
I know, it's true.
Everything about these guys. Like, the money that goes in, the science that goes in behind, like, yeah. Profiling a player to know if they're good enough
yeah.
is...
Oh, it's to the minuscule.
It's in the billions.
Minuscule.
There's probably
details.
$1 billion going in, like more than $1 billion going into player analyzing.
Do you remember Rocky IV, where they were training Dolph Lundgren in a Soviet laboratory, and it was like measuring kind of every single tiny level? It feels that's the NFL. Ironically, what the Americans are taking the piss out of, that they're guilty of, right?
It's kind
of
like that. Like, yeah. So
I've got. So you go on. I've got a thing I want to talk about. Actually, I just remembered. Okay. But you say your thing.
So yeah, I think it's very mirroring Christian Wade. Mm. I wouldn't get your hypes up too much.
I'm not. I don't. Yeah.
So I thought him choosing the Chiefs was kind of like, okay, choosing the best team.
But did he choose them or
he
I
went
don't
to,
how does it work?
I think he went to New York.
It makes it sound like he's at a buffet though. Presumably he doesn't have that many options.
Well, he did.
He did?
He did. I think he had 5 or 6 options.
Oh, fair enough.
He went to a few teams that week.
Why wouldn't you go to the best team though?
I don't know. I think you would want to, like, I don't know. I thought going to the Chiefs was kind of cliche.
Cliche. No one's ever, how can, no one's done this before ever.
They're like a dynasty team. I don't know. Like, it's just, I thought it was kind of cheesy.
That would be a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be. I guess you're not like a guy that's going to make a difference on the team where you're like, I'm going to build this team up.
You're making it sound like he's got the world at his fingertips. Even I know enough to know that he's not probably getting in a team. You know?
Well, he had his world.
May as well pick the best one.
He had his fingertips. He had a good option of teams that wanted for him to play.
Oh, fair enough.
For them. Oh, so enough. Mostly they want that promote. They want those eyeballs, right?
I think so.
Right? There's money behind them.
If you go...
So they want that those eyeballs. They want those UK eyeballs like right on top of...
Yeah.
Right onto them. So...
You picking that up?
No.
All right, keep going. My dog's howling, but whatever. We'll keep going.
So I'm not like... Yeah, I think it's going to be... He's going to play a couple games and then he's going to drift off and then he'll be back in... He'll be back in the Welsh fold.
Back in a Gloucestershire jersey before the year's
by
out.
By Christmas.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know enough about that. I do get a bit annoyed where people are like absolutely shitting on him and there's a bunch of people on Reddit going... He's not even got a chance, hope in hell. And some other people are like, can we just go back to talking about rugby? Like, but I do want to say something else. So I was watching a YouTube highlights reel of his because I'm sad. And all of a sudden, all the comments, it's like hundreds of Kansas City Chiefs fans saying
really?
American things like, this kid is fire, and all these like Americanisms. And I'm like, what is this? You know, like on this little Welsh guy's YouTube channel. It's just blown his channel up.
Because he's
you know?
Starting like, to actually, like, yeah, he's starting to be... named and profiled in American media now.
Yeah, they called him Irish the other day, so they need to learn some geography first before they start commenting, you know.
Yeah, so I've seen like a lot of American YouTubers podcasts, there's like are starting to talk about him now.
Yeah,
right, now that he's like got out of that like development thing program and he's now signed with a team. So people are starting to like, and there's like hype.
Yeah.
Like, they think he's going to be a thing.
That's mental.
So it's not like, they're actually, the rugby community is actually being way harsher than him.
Than the NFL. That's what I thought. They were all really positive.
Which I found, really, like, they think he's going to be some sort of, like,
I just thought that was the culture thing, though. They're not a very hateful people, are they? They're very happy and excited, generally, the
Americans.
When
it comes to football?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you something else, though, which was a bit of a culture shock for me, right?
Yeah.
So, there was a YouTube video, and it was, like, some... NFL podcast sort of thing, right? And one of the guys says he's a properly jocked white, which we certainly appreciate, right? And I was like, he's a properly jocked white. Presumably that's like some sports term, not a reference to his ethnicity, right? So I was checking out the comments. I was like, surely. It was a straight up like, thank God he's white sort of thing. And I was like,
really?
And I had a bit of culture shock. And I was like, what the fuck? Do people say that? And apparently they do. Like, so they called him a properly jocked white. And I guess it was not as...
Who said this?
It was just... And it was pretty mainstream NFL channel, right? And there was a white guy and a black guy on the channel. And they were both laughing about it. So it's not as racially charged as you might think. Apparently, there's a bit of like banter about how much better black guys in America are at football, which obviously they definitely are more prominent in the sport, and they're, you know, obviously have a kind of bigger profile. And I guess there's a bunch of like white guys there who are like sort of joking with them, like,
okay. Yeah,
so
yeah,
I guess it's not as horrible as it's, but I did get a bit of culture shock. So you just wouldn't fucking say that here, would you?
You wouldn't say that in Canada.
No, you wouldn't say it in Canada. You wouldn't even say it in Canada. Like, you wouldn't dream of saying that. But they were like having a laugh about, yeah, he's a properly jock white, you've got a white guy finally. I was like, what the fuck is this? It was just, and it was just kind of jarring to me. Do you know what I mean? I was just, maybe it's just because I'm like British and I'm like, oh no, don't say rude, weird things. I don't know. It properly like culture shocked me though, because I was convinced they wouldn't say that. I was trying to think like, surely that's a term for some thing that's not referencing
his
ethnicity.
Taking the piss.
Yeah, but I mean, they were kind of taking the piss, but it was, it's just not something you'd hear in,
even
on
shocking
YouTube channels.
Even I think a Canadian would hear that would be like, oh, okay,
totally,
wow.
Totally. Yeah, because I could see when I said that, you were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, like, even you were a bit like, no, you know? Anyway, so that's all I have to say about it. You know, good luck to him. I just want him back in rugby. I don't care about the NFL.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Good.
He'll be back in a year.
Good.
For sure.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like completely wrong.
Yeah, maybe he's amazing.
If he makes it in the NFL, if he plays a season, that will be a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
So
put Wales on the map, eh?
Put Wales on the map.
Unless they think he's Irish.
Unless he's Irish. Man, this Irish player is really fucking
put
good.
Ireland on the map even more than it already is. Yeah. Anyway.
So speaking of global rugby.
Yeah. Got conspiracy?
No, not a conspiracy. I was just, you know how we were talking about the rule changes and stuff like that being proposed?
Yeah.
So the number one rule change that I think is going to happen globally, and it's going to probably go through, is the 20-minute red.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the 20-minute red?
I've gone back and forth with this a lot, right? Because I remember a game where it was Scarlets and Ulster, and a winger, Tom Rogers, he kind of got decapitated by an Ulster player. I don't think it was particularly malicious, but it was a red card, right?
Sorry, what game was this again? What game were you talking about?
It was Scarlets Ulster. It was years ago.
Of course, it's the Wales versus Irish team coming from you.
What do you mean?
I want to tell you a story where the evil, evil Irish are playing the Angel Wales.
All right, I'm gonna say Team A were playing Team B. It's not the only example of it, and it's definitely happened to Irish teams because I've talked to Irish guys about similar incidents. Right, I'll give you a more general example then. So imagine your team's playing, and whether it's malicious or not, a player doesn't get a red card for what should be a red card offense. They get a yellow card, right? They go off, but that person that they hurt can't come back on. Right, this Tom Rogers in that game was knocked the fuck out. Right, he couldn't come back on because he failed the HIA.
Okay, so I think he might be.
But let me finish because how this finishes is important. That guy who got the yellow came back on, scored the winning try, and that guy he knocked out couldn't come back and play. To me, that was, I understand the context. It wasn't malicious. That guy deserved to come back on because it was a yellow card. It's not his problem, right? Came back, scored a winning try. He's not going to come back on and not try hard, is he? He's a professional athlete. So I understand that. But what would happen with this 20-minute red is, and I understand that that player isn't coming back on, but what you're saying is your team can do something potentially very dangerous and you've still got a reasonably good chance of winning a game when, you know, you should have a red card is a collective punishment. It should be a deterrent. It should go, you've done something so dangerous, your team kind of deserves to lose
now,
at this stage, right?
You do understand that, like, when you get a 20-minute red, like, if you're given a 20-minute red card, you don't come back on.
That's what, and I know, I just said that, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But your team, I'm saying a red card is a collective punishment. It should be a collective punishment. If one of your players does something very dangerous, your team suffers because of it.
Yeah.
And they should suffer significantly because you could kill a guy.
Yeah, see, I was like you too. I've been going back and forth on this because has the 20-minute red destroyed Super Rugby?
I don't think we've seen enough of it.
Right?
That's my problem.
So, like, I don't think the impact, like, I'm trying to find, like, ideally, when I think about it, a lot of things come up. Like, you're going to see teams now play more even more on the edge.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of allowed to. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right?
I'm
that's what I think
that.
This opens the door to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I know, like in Super Rugby, they play on the edge.
Yeah.
Like, they're constantly trying to, like, they're playing on the edge of the rules.
I think at the breakdown, that's very true.
And the breakdown,
to the
too.
Yeah.
And, but I haven't seen, like, a major negative impact on it in Super Rugby.
All I'm saying is, trial it for a little bit longer. Because I am on the fence. I do think there's merit to it. But I think if we're talking about player welfare, that's a big red flag.
I think you're going to see what I think. If I'm going to go down like the conspiratory lane, you're going to see the goon come into rugby.
Yes.
So in hockey, they have a player called, he's like the goon.
Yeah.
His job is not to score goals, not to stop goals.
Yeah.
His job is to punish, physically punish or injure like another player.
That exists
and
in
he's
rugby,
a throwaway.
Though.
He's a throwaway player. So he goes on the ice. His job is to like fuck someone up.
Yeah.
And if he gets like thrown off, he gets thrown off. Like that's his job. Right. Mm. And I think you might, I'm worried. I'm not thinking you might see this, but I'm worried you might see that. You might see a throwaway player.
Yeah.
And his job is just to take out the best player.
Yeah. Legally, you'd hope.
Legally, you hope.
Yeah.
But his job is just to be a fuck around.
Because if he gets a 20 minute red, who cares, right?
Yeah. Because he's gone, but the other team's best player is gone.
Yeah. Exactly. Right? That's what I'm saying.
That's like, it's just, headhunting. Like, I think it opens the door for headhunting.
Yeah, it does.
We haven't seen it yet, right? So we could be completely wrong.
No, but like, you know, you go look at DuPont's law, where a smart player can find a loophole, they'll use it, and who can blame them?
Yeah.
And you're right, like that, you made a good point there. It's that like for like, right? Yeah, I lose that player, and maybe you lose your player to injury, but neither's coming back on. But if that player we know is not the same quality as that player, then why wouldn't you deliberately, or not deliberately, but you wouldn't care as much?
Like if
it's
you're
not a deterrent,
France,
is
take
it?
Take DuPont out.
Right.
Yeah. You fuck that whole team right
up. Yeah. Maybe you've got like a second rate prop and you think, just fucking hit him hard in the chest.
Right.
Like fucking hit him really hard in the chest. Like if you go off and you don't come back, they've lost DuPont.
Yeah. Right? I think it leads to, players play more on the edge.
Yeah.
Because the repercussions aren't as big anymore.
Yeah.
Which is going to naturally happen. If the punishment is not as bad, you're going to try to stretch the rules out as much as you can more.
Totally.
Because now your team's not crippled. Also, though, to say for the 20-minute red, there's been a lot of games that I've watched where first 5 minutes, bam, red card.
Yeah.
You've been hyping up this game for months.
Yeah.
And in the first 5 minutes...
It does ruin games.
There's a red card.
It does ruin games.
And like as a fan...
Yeah.
I think as a general fan, if you don't give a fuck about the players at all, their welfare and everything like that, like it saves games from being completely over.
It does.
Right? But also at the same time, like if you're cheering for the opposite team and this guy basically gets away with murder,
No, but you're making a good point here. You're close to it. I'm going to say a couple of things. First of all, rugby has had enforcers historically. There's a South African player, Bakis Botha.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he's a good player, but they called him an enforcer.
Yeah.
Which is essentially the same as he's your physical presence on the field,
he's
right?
He's your goon.
And he did some nasty things to Shane Williams. I remember it. He'd like tackle him and headbutt him on the ground and stuff, right? But the problem we've got now is we're at a weird intersection where all the things you said are true. If it wasn't for the fact that these red cards in our game are inconsistent and disputable, right? So if we were in an area of rugby where we're like, that's definitely a red and the referees are refereeing it perfectly, then I would not want this 20-minute thing, because if you commit a red card offense, you probably deserve to lose the game. It's like when Wales were winning the Jam Slam and everyone was pissed at us for losing games because they got a red card. And it's like, well, don't fucking try and decapitate our players then. That's your problem, not our problem, right?
Yeah, because like right now you can make a good argument that like, yeah, there's a lot of red cards that are questionable.
Yes,
like,
that
should be a red card, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have been a red card, but it was, right?
It's like that Tom Curry one in the World Cup. It was disputable, to be honest.
And then
right?
Since there's no consistency in that thing, which there's never going to be.
Yeah.
There's never going to be consistency because the game is so dynamic.
Yeah.
Every call is so different.
Yeah.
You're never going to get that consistency that the fans want.
I agree.
So that's why I think the 20-minute red is kind of a good compromise.
I think so. But what I'm saying with both of those things, with adjusting to these new tackle height rules and the 20-minute red, trial it a little bit more. Everything in rugby with the rule changes seems to happen so fucking fast and so frequently. It's like, let it bed in for a bit at the club level so we can see what works and what doesn't. It's not a good enough sample one season of Super Rugby to go, this works for me.
Yeah, because you know? I think it's in its second season, maybe. Yeah.
Yes. But you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think it's a bad idea, but I don't, and neither do I think the tackle height rules are a bad idea, but you've got to wait to see what works and what doesn't work, right?
Yeah, you got to like, things sound like a good idea.
Yeah.
But in application, it needs to be some time.
It does, exactly. That's
like,
all I'm
like,
saying.
Give it some time.
Yeah.
Because yes, they introduced the, let's just say, like, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure they introduced the 20-minute red last season.
Yes, they did.
For Super Rugby.
Yeah.
Teams need time to figure out how to really navigate that, right? Really work with it, really learn how to exploit it.
And exactly, you need to allow a team, a smart team, to go, let's see how they play with that. Because like with DuPont's law, DuPont realized there's a loophole here and I can exploit it. And without that, we'd still have this ridiculous law where if you just stand still, you're onside. That's bullshit.
It's like video games these days, right? They just shoot them out without having enough play testing.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and then when you have millions of people playing, you're like, you figure out all these glitches and shit.
Yeah,
and stuff.
They
you're
do like the alpha phase thing, right? Yeah. Which, you know, isn't a bad idea because you just let a million people have a play around with it. And you go, oh, that's broken.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
But it's, I mean, it is messed up as well because neither do you want to be playing with people's health, right? If we're saying player safety is paramount, then, you know, you do have to sort of immediately go, we're doing this for the benefit of the game. So the 20-minute red, the negatives of it are related to player welfare. So you should trial it a wee bit more before you bring it in at a national level.
Yeah, you really want to see anyone. Yeah, you want to see who really like exploits that thing.
Yeah.
And see if that even happens.
I think we agree then,
more team.
I think we're on the same page at the end of the day.
Kind of on the same page. I think so, because like, I think I'm not totally opposed to a 20
minute
red, but I'm not totally for it either.
Yeah, me too. I'm on the fence. I want to see more of it before I make my mind up, right?
Yeah, I'm bisexual when it comes to the 20-minute red card.
Yeah, I was pretty cis white male straight when it came to the bunker, you know. But when it came to that, yeah.
Plus, you can't make everyone happy.
No.
Yeah, cannot make everyone happy. So you bring in one thing and you're gonna make a bunch of people mad. You bring in another thing, you're never gonna fix this game.
Yeah,
it's always gonna be like this Wild West shit.
Yeah.
Especially the calls and the refs, they're always just so. Like random and I, what's wrong? Why are you so happy? You're
smirking
over there.
I'm just thinking about it.
Thinking about what?
Honestly, I wanted to talk more about the bunker thing as well, because I think like they introduced that pretty quickly, and I liked that immediately.
I liked it too. I thought it took the pressure off the refs and it kept the game flowing more.
But then I was surprised by the kickback against it when I was seeing people online going, "Oh, I hate it." Maybe it's the same. Maybe I just don't know the other side of the coin with the 20-minute red. That's what I was thinking about.
It's because I don't think people just don't like people making decisions that they can't see, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, because they're behind a glow, they're just a voice on the screen. They don't like that. I don't know.
Segway to controversial TMO the other day in Saracens.
Oh, that thing right there.
Tell me about that.
So
that's a real nice segue.
Yeah. So I don't know the full details of the story, but what I've heard was the TMO caught something that the commentator said that he missed.
Yeah.
And then he got caught on hot mic talking about how he was going to basically not look at it because the commentator mentioned it.
Yeah.
And so he didn't want to bring any controversy about it.
Mm.
Right. Which created a bunch of controversy.
Yeah. That's the state rugby's in.
When I first heard the story, I didn't know the full details. All I heard was a TMO was caught on the mic saying, "Oh, I'm not going to look at that." Blah, blah, blah. And I thought that was suspicious. But when I read the whole story, I was like, okay, there's really not much here. Like, the guy was trying to make the best decision at the time, right? He's a guy. It's his job. People fuck up at their job. He missed that call. He didn't want to make it look suspicious. I bet just probably some time.
And it wasn't a close game at that stage either.
Yeah. So I don't think there was much controversy that the media made out of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, fuck, he just didn't want to make a thing of it.
He's saying, I don't want to let the commentator influence my decision.
Then why is he listening to the commentator?
That's what people are arguing about,
but I would assume they're gonna listen to the commentator for those extra eyes.
I thought so as well. You've got an ex rugby professional who's talking about the game and will say things you might miss. Why wouldn't you listen to him?
Yeah, so information is key.
We have to trust people as well. Yeah, you want an unbiased environment, but at some point you have to just trust your professionals to go, you have all these different sources of information. We believe that you won't be affected by them in a biased way, right?
Yeah, I think these people are just worried about how they think the game is too analyzed. There's just too many people.
Well, stop introducing new fucking rules then, you know?
Yeah. Like, they're not even like, and the problem is too, is they're not even enforcing some rules that they already have.
Exactly.
You're like, the rules are all over the place and they want to bring in new ones, but they're not even enforcing other ones
that
they want to enforce.
That's why that DuPont law thing was a good thing, because what they did, they didn't change the rule, just got rid of it.
Yeah.
Right? Less rules is good, you know?
So, Yeah, I thought there wasn't much to. I thought that
storm in a teacup.
I think that guy just kind of panicked and made a decision.
Yeah,
and it kind of went against him a little bit.
And we've got to forgive human beings every now and again, don't we?
Yeah. Actually, no. Fuck him. We're hating. Oh,
yeah. Okay, fuck TMOs. TMOs.
Oh, fuck those guys.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Fuck them.
Just burn them at the stake. Just do a bunch of TMOs. What did we do wrong?
Witch. They're called laws, not rules.
So next weekend...
we're going to look at the Champions Cup to finish?
Yes, we are going to look at the Champions Cup.
All right.
Because it's back.
Back to familiar territory.
Yeah. Let's take some predictions.
Harlequins, Glasgow Warriors. Ooh. Friday afternoon or night, wherever you are.
Yeah. At the Stoop.
At the Stoop.
How do you think this game's going to go?
Quins look good today against Bath.
Quins look good.
Until Bath came back. Yeah. I'm like, how do you not defend that lead? I think Glasgow have been a bit ropey. I thought Marcus Smith is looking good.
Yep.
I think Quins win that game.
I am going to go against you here.
Okay. Fuck.
Because I think these
please
are both...
please don't. I'm shit kind of predicting.
These are kind of both back and forth teams. But yeah. I think Glasgow is gonna do a number on that.
Really?
Yeah.
On what are you basing that on?
Just... feeling
vibes,
just vibes.
I trust my gut a bit more. I might predict some things right.
I like the URC teams still have that feeling that they're like the natural underdogs, so they're going up to the big boys to play.
That's true,
right? Especially even though Glasgow. They're very comparable.
Yeah.
Harlequins are a good team, Harlequins, but I don't know. I think there's gonna be some passion.
Okay.
Yeah,
I believe it, but I'm sticking with Harlequins.
Oh my gosh, it is Leon versus the Bulls.
Well, I hope that Bulls getting trashed by Leinster wasn't them all the time, because I thought Bulls were like, you know, potential winners of this competition. Bulls are playing at home, I think.
Yes.
So I'm going to go Bulls, because you know you don't bet against South African teams in South Africa.
Ooh. Oh man.
They've got to prove me right here, because they've been a little bit, they look ropey against Leinster.
So you're going. You're making some big calls here.
Am I?
I think Leon's a pretty good team.
Leon are a pretty good team. But, you know, like I said, you don't bet against South Africans in South Africa. The altitude matters.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bulls too.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you would.
Yeah, Leon's a big team too.
No, they're good, man. They're right? Really class team. Yeah.
They've been kind of like 50-50. Though, yeah. I still think they're good, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think I'm with you with this. The Bulls.
Yeah. These are knockout games now as well.
Yeah,
right?
These are knockout games.
Yeah. Exeter, Bath. Exeter at home, I think.
With Bath.
Yeah, Exeter all day. Bath are too inconsistent for me.
Yeah, I think Exeter.
Finn Russell's made Bath a better team, but they're still not a knockout games team.
Oh, that's going to be a good game, though.
I want to watch that one. Oh. Yeah.
Stormers, La Rochelle.
Oh, La Rochelle. I'm going. Stormers haven't done enough. I think, no, Stormers are at home. So maybe by my own logic, I should go with Stormers. And La Rochelle haven't been as impressive as they were last year.
No.
So, you know what? I'm going to go Stormers.
Oh, my gosh. Fuck. These are two big teams.
Yeah, Ronan O'Gara has lost a shade of his competitiveness as well. I'm going La Stormers.
I'm going to say La Rochelle.
Okay.
I think they're going to come in.
Yeah,
I think they're gonna do this over Stormers.
That's my hardest call so far, to be fair. So I wouldn't be surprised if La Rochelle can win that.
Saracens, Bordeaux.
Bordeaux have been very good. Mm-hmm. Saracens though look like they're back to form. Am I saying that based on?
This is gonna be in France.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Bordeaux. Actually, I'm gonna go Bordeaux.
Fuck, this is a tight game. God damn.
That is a hard call though. I'm purely home advantage for that one.
I'm going to go Bordeaux.
Yeah.
Bordeaux boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leinster, Leicester.
The Battle of the Lays.
Yeah.
Leinster, they're at home. Leinster have won all of their games except two in the URC. So
they've been kind of, they lost the last game they played against Leicester.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
No, I'm pretty sure they did.
No, they didn't.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Fucking hell.
I think they lost. Or no, was that? No, I'm thinking Munster, Northampton.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, Leinster 4 wins, 0 losses in the Champions
Cup. Yeah, I'm thinking Munster, Northampton.
Yeah, scared me.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No, Leinster.
Yeah, Leinster going to fucking pump them.
Leinster
at home?
Yeah, definitely. That's actually one of my easier calls. I think.
They might even rest. I bet you any Leicester are going to rest players. They're not going to send a whole team out. They're not going to send their
A-class. Well, it's a knockout game, though.
Yeah, but they're probably more concerned about the Prem now. They're probably like, holy fuck, I got to play Leinster.
Yeah, fair enough.
Risk like...
I think Northampton are winning the Gallagher Prem, so Leicester need to come out. Yeah, Leinster, man. Leinster.
Yeah, Leinster for sure. They're just too good. Northampton Saints
now,
versus
this
Munster.
Game I want to watch.
This is going to be...
This is the fucking main event. This is... Yes. Sunday, 5:30 a.m. For fuck's sake. Thank you, Canada. Sunday at 5:30 a.m. Fucking hell.
We can watch both these games and then
Can we please watch them recorded?
We can't.
Please.
No, wait. I'm gonna be at your house at 5:30 a.m.
For fuck's sake. You probably will as well.
5:30. I'm just gonna rough call come to at 5 o'clock. Mate, I'll be here.
The doors are locked.
And I'll be ringing. Rocky, my boy, will wake you up with his barking.
Fuck's sake.
Oh, hell of a game. This game, if you would have asked me before the Six Nations.
Yeah, right. The narratives have
I would have said Northampton.
Oh.
But Munster have had a lot of players come back. Guys are getting healthy. Mm. Their team looks good.
It does look good. But you know what? Northampton's team also looks good, and they've got a better winning record. It's in Northampton.
It's in Northampton, too. But Munster...
But you know what though? I agree with you in terms of parity of squads. Like, those are two really good squads.
I wonder if me being a Munster fan is giving me cloudy eyes for this game.
It should do. That's good though. That's not a bad thing.
I don't know who's going to win this game.
No, I'm going to say Northampton.
I'm going to say Northampton
on
too.
Paper, both of them have excellent teams.
Yeah.
And I think Northampton's...
Proven more.
Bit more proven, and they're at home. So.
And they're at home.
Yeah.
Okay. Northampton. I'm going Northampton.
All right, swayed you.
I think the next game's kind of easier to call though. Toulouse and Racing 92, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Toulouse, right?
Oh man, Toulouse are going to... Oh man, these teams are like... I'm just looking at the top 14 table. And
it's
like,
wacky, isn't it?
They're like right beside each other.
It's wacky. It changes.
They're only separated by 4 points.
I still say Toulouse just because I think... You know, I'll be perfectly honest. I don't know enough about the French league
back,
to call this.
He
is back.
Yeah.
And Toulouse have... Don't they have Blair Kinghorn who's been playing real well for them as well? I mean, they obviously have a lot of excellent French players. Isn't Entomac back?
He's coming back. He's close. I saw an article that he's going to be gearing up to make a comeback.
Yeah.
So
if he plays, I mean, he's obviously going to be a bit undercooked. He's been out for a bloody year, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's only 24. Wow. Anyway, I'm going to say Toulouse. I'll be honest, though. I don't know enough about French rugby to be very confident about that prediction.
Well, Toulouse is a team of fucking rock stars.
It is.
What,
no,
Racing 92 also is too.
Yeah, I mean, Racing have spent some money.
So, yeah, I'm going to go Toulouse. I think Toulouse might be... I'm pretty... Like, right now, if you're calling... If I have to call this too, I would say that Toulouse are going to win the Champions Cup.
Wow.
Because they are...
They're the same as Leinster, 4 wins, 0 losses. So I'm going to tell you something interesting. Leinster, Northampton, and Toulouse have not lost a Champions Cup game. And they're all the top of their groups. So if you're betting against them, I think you're betting against the run of play a bit. You know what I mean?
The Bulls lost a game?
Yeah, the Bulls have lost a game. Yeah, everyone in Pool 1 has lost at least one game. Bordeaux, Bulls, Lyon, Saracens, Connacht, and Bristol.
Oh, I can't wait to watch these games next weekend.
That's going to be a hell of a... Do you know what I like? You know, it's spring, the sun comes out. I remember like back home, like you go to the pub and the sun's out and it's like the Champions Cup knockout's happening.
It's going to be 5 a.m. The sun's going to be out and then I'm going to be knocking on your door.
I'm recording it. You can wait outside the fucking window. I'll maybe compromise at 6. Sunday though, fuck's sake, Canada.
Well, that was a fucking Wild West podcast.
We had a little trip down dark alleys there, didn't we?
Yeah, we were fucking... We went all over the board.
Freewheeling, yeah.
Rugby's a big sport. A lot of talk about.
Well, I'm sad that we dedicated about 10% of that to the fecking NFL, but whatever.
The fecking NFL.
Yeah.
Well, friends,
fucking
if you have any...
Fucking turn-based rugby. Sorry, I'm not finished.
Oh,
sorry, Steve.
Email shit here.
It's all right. Sorry.
Well, friends, if you have any questions... You can email us at thefriendsofrugbypod@gmail.com.
Other people don't say that. Like, other people say, like us on the things. Like us. Do we do that?
Like and share. Like and share our podcast.
Yes, please.
What, you don't like the email at the end?
No, I like it. It's just not... It's, you sound like a boomer.
All right, I'm ending the
fax
podcast.
Fax us. 20345.
Have a good one. Bye.